Okay, good morning everyone, and as always, I thank everyone for coming. The topic of today's shiur is a very important topic in halacha, which is one of the Sodei HaTorah, one of the basic foundations of the Torah. The Rambam, as we will see, lists off these halachas in the section that he calls Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. This is one of the basic foundations of Yiddishkeit. And the source in the parasha of today's shiur is we have a pasuk that says, V'nigdashti b'tzoch b'nei Yisrael. V'nigdashti b'tzoch b'nei Yisrael, which means that Hashem says, I will be sanctified amongst the B'nai Yisrael. In what way will Hashem be sanctified amongst the B'nai Yisrael? So the Rambam, which unfortunately is not in the sheet, I made a big mistake with the preparation of the sheets last night. I left off a few pieces in the Rambam that are important, so just please bear with me. The Rambam says that the pasuk v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, that says that I will be sanctified amongst the Jewish nation, teaches us that kol beis Yisrael mitzuvim al kiddush Hashem hagadol hazeh. That v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael refers to the concept that we refer to as kiddush Hashem. Right now, this is a very big concept, a very broad concept, loosely applies in many situations. We have the mitzvah of kiddush Hashem. Earlier in the Torah, we came across a pasuk which said, that God says you should not defile my great name, from which we derive the concept of Chil Hashem. And thus, we have the basic idea that we have a Kiddush Hashem to sanctify Hashem's name, as opposed to Chil Hashem to disgrace Hashem's name. Now, in the colloquial usage of these terms, so it applies in many different situations. If a person, even a person driving a car wearing a yarmulke who cuts someone off while he's driving, or makes a U-turn in a place where he's not allowed and thereby holds up traffic, so we say that was a chil Hashem. That was a chil Hashem, and indeed it is. Conversely, a person who does a good deed and is recognized as the fact that he is a Jew, and the attribution of what he did is because of the fact that he's Jewish, so we say that's a Kiddush Hashem. And that is also true. However, the direct meaning of the pasuk of Kiddush Hashem is talking about something on a much higher level. And that is what the Rambam tells us, that Kol Beis Yisrael, that all Jewish people are commanded on Kiddush Hashem. What does that mean? That means that a person, if need be, would have to give up his life, his or her life, for the mitzvahs of Hashem. That is the ultimate fulfillment, and that's really in the view of the Gemara, that's the direct meaning of the pasuk. The direct meaning of the pasuk, to the implication, the nekdashi b'sof b'nei Yisrael, that Hashem says, I will be sanctified amongst the Jewish people. That means the ultimate sanctification of Hashem's name is that a person would even be willing to give up his or her life in the name of God. We find the Safra says that the pasuk says Al Tnai, rather the Chazal say Al Tnai Hotzesi Estem Eretz Mitzrayim Al Tnai Shetimsru Atzmechem L'Kadosh Hashmi. That Hashem says that when I took you out of Mitzrayim, it wasn't just an emancipation without any strings attached, obviously, but rather it goes all the way to the extent that Hashem says, I took you out of Mitzrayim with the understanding that you're going to be loyal to me, and the ultimate loyalty is going to be that you would even give up your life to sanctify my name, which presumably means for the purpose of Hashem's mitzvahs. We have also in the Sefer HaChinuch that he says that the concept of Kiddush Hashem in this sense, the person, what we call martyr, to be a martyr, martyrdom would be, he says, because ultimately the relationship between a person and God is that a person is like a servant to God. And therefore, he says, we find we find in the world that people give up their lives even for their master. We don't have today a concept of slavery or even servants, but the idea is that people are most nefesh for causes that are important to them. You have in the military where people are ready to give up their lives in the name of the sake of their country, where something is a very valuable, something which has great value to them, they're willing to give up their lives. People are most nefesh. So we have the expression that we use, mesiras nefesh, which sometimes is used in an exaggerated form. It's guzma. You say a person was most nefesh, but sometimes it's really true that a person was most nefesh. A person who even gave up his life for certain causes. People that dedicated themselves to certain causes to the extent that they pushed themselves to it eventually cost them their lives. So we find this in general in the world. We find such a concept. So the Sefer HaChinuch tells us that the same thing is certainly true in the relationship between a Jew and Hashem. And therefore, we have this idea that a person has the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, and that is what the Torah is referring to in yesterday's parsha. That is the direct meaning in Ikdashti B'Sof B'nei Yisrael. Okay, so even though it is true that to a lesser degree, a person who does a good deed in which it is recognized that this is due to his Yiddishkeit has made a Kiddush Hashem, there's no question that that's true. But the direct meaning of the pasuk is this in the view of the Chazal. Okay, now, the issue that comes up with this mitzvah is as follows. We have, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin, this is on the sheet, Masechta Sanhedrin, on Daf Ayin Dalet Amid Aleph. So the Gemara says that source number 3 here on the sheet. So if you go down to the fourth line, on the fourth line it says, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Tani Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Minayin Shem Amar Lo La'adam, Avar Avodas Kochavim, Va'al Teharek. From where do we know that if a Jew is told, serve Avodah Zarah and you will not be killed, Minayin Sheyavar Va'al Yeharek, from where do we know that in such a situation he should serve Avodah Zarah? Okay, now this may seem strange because we don't pass in the halacha this way, as we will soon see. But nevertheless, in the view of Rabbi Shmuel, a person would not have to give up his life even if it was a question of Avodah Zarah, because it says in the pasuk, "V'chai bohem." Because we have, if you look right above in source number 2, we have a pasuk in Parshas Acharemos that we read last Shabbos, that the pasuk says, "Ushmartem es kulkosai ves mishvotai asher yasa osam ha'odam v'chai bohem." V'chai bohem. Okay, that you should live by the Torah, v'chai bohem. So says Rabbi Shmuel, based on this pasuk, we are told that a person does not have to give up his life. That a person is supposed to, because the Torah says specifically that in this pasuk that you should, Hashem says, you should observe my mitzvahs, v'chai bohem, and you should live by them. Right? So from this pasuk we learn out that a person, what does it mean, v'chai b'hem, you should live by them? Says Rabbi Shmuel that this means that a person does not have to give up his life. That if it was a question of a person dying or violating the mitzvah in the Torah, then he should violate the mitzvah in the Torah, v'chai b'hem. So the question presents itself, that how do we reconcile these pasukim? That here we have in source number 1, we have the pasuk was Chal Hashem Kachi v'nekdat Chil Hashem Shepros Shenamek Chil Hashem in Tashi B'Sof B'nei Yisrael, which the Chazal interpret, as we have said, interpret to mean that a person has to be willing to give up his life. And yet we have this other pasuk which says V'chai Bohem, that a person should live by the mitzvahs and not die by the mitzvahs. So how do we reconcile this? So the well-known, perhaps not so well-known, reconciliation for this is as follows. The Rambam says this is based on Gemaras, but in the interest of saving time, we'll cut right to the chase. And again, I apologize, this is not on the sheet. The Rambam says that when it says in the Torah, "V'chai bohem," that you should live by the mitzvahs, it is referring to specific cases, and when it says v'nikdashi, it's referring to other specific cases. How so? So the Rambam says that when it comes to the mitzvahs of the Torah, generally speaking, v'chai b'hem prevails. That a person is supposed to live by the mitzvahs and not die by the mitzvahs. And therefore, if a person needs to go to to a doctor on Shabbos or to the hospital, whatever it may be, and it's going to involve malacha, it's going to involve all sorts of chil Shabbos, so to this the Torah says, v'chai b'hem, you should live by the mitzvahs. And so too, if a person is weak, feeling weak on Yom Kippur, and is told, or he knows himself that he has to eat, and otherwise, who knows, his life may be in danger. So a person is allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, and we'll soon see if he's obligated to do so. But he is certainly allowed, according to all views, is allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, allowed to be Michal Shabbos, allowed to eat Chametz on Pesach, allowed, whatever it may be, the person is allowed to do these things, and that is the explanation of V'chai B'hem. However, the mitzvah of the Nikdashti B'Soch B'nei Yisrael, which says that I will be sanctified amongst the Jewish people, which the Chazal interpret to mean that a person has to be willing to give up his life, so the Rambam says, again it's based on a Gemara, the Rambam says that this is referring to a case where a non-Jew comes to a Jew and says, violate a mitzvah in the Torah, and his motivation for saying that to the Jew is what's called lahaviro al daso. Lahaviro al daso means that he's doing it for the sake of getting the Jew to go against his religion. In other words, if a non-Jew would come to a Jew and say, violate this mitzvah, and he's doing it for the purpose, the specific purpose of getting the Jew, lahavir al daso, because I want you to go against the Torah, I want to make a display that a Jew will go against the Torah, so the Rambam says, and this is brought in all the poskim, that this is the case where Kiddush Hashem applies. If it is done in the presence of 10 people. This is what the Rambam says, that if it was done, that he says, Bisman Shagoi is Mishkaven, Lahaviro al HaMitzvahs, that if the guy's intention is to get the Jew to go against the mitzvahs, so then he says like this, if it is in the presence of Asara Me Yisrael, if it is in the presence of 10 Jewish people, so then we say that this is an issue of Kiddush Hashem / Chilul Hashem. Why is that? Because the Gemara learns out on a famous drushes in the Gemara that the pasuk that we cited in source number 1, Menekdashti Pesoch B'nei Yisrael, so the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin Ayin Daled Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us that the drasha of the Soch B'nai Yisrael is part of the Gzeira Shava, that it says that Hashem said to Moshe by the sin of the Meraglim, He badu mitoch ha'eda ha'roh hazoh, separate yourself mitoch ha'eda ha'roh, from the midst of these bad people. And we know that by the Meraglim, how many bad people were there? There were 12 Meraglim, but 2 of them were good, 2 of them were tzaddikim, so there were 10 bad Meraglim. So the word toch, Tovaidazos means the presence of 10 people. And when it says here in this pasuk, Vinigdashti, Besoch, B'nai Yisrael, so that means that the primary mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem in this context, when it comes to a person giving up his life, is talking when it's done in the presence of 10 Jews. And therefore, the Rambam says that if a goy would come over to a Jew in public and say, I want you to go ahead and violate a mitzvah in the Torah, that I would like you to go ahead and violate a mitzvah in the Torah, so the halacha is that the Jew would be obligated to give up his life. And that would be what the pasuk is referring to.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I don't know if you have it on there, but also it mentions that the sons of Yaakov went down to Mitzrayim, the Soch.
The Soch.
This is the word the Soch.
Okay.
And how many sons went down?
Yeah, exactly, because Yosef is the young.
That's also a reference.
Okay.
Why I need 10 people for a minute?
Fine. Very good. Okay, so we have another source of also the word toch, the same drusha, which that Brody is pointing out correctly, is also the source for davening with a minyan, which we've spoken about in the past and probably will again in the future. But the fact is that the idea of Toch, that a congregation of Jewish people is considered 10, is derived, there are multiple sources. The Gemara uses the source of the Meraglim, but yes, that's true, that it says also about the sons of Yaakov going to Mitzrayim were also 10. So there you have it. So we have this mitzvah of Nigashi B'soch Menei Yisrael, that it has to be 10 people. If it's not in the presence of 10 people, or if the non-Jew wanted the Jew to violate the Torah for what's called Hanas Atzmo, for his own personal benefit, so then if it's for his own, he had no agenda, no religious agenda. He wasn't trying to get the Jew to, you know, to disgrace the Torah, but rather he had his own personal reason why he wanted that this should take place. So then the halacha would be that a person is not obligated to give up his life. In other words, it comes out that the reconciliation between the psukim are as follows. When the pasuk says v'chai bahem, generally speaking, applies by all the mitzvahs. That by all the mitzvahs, not only the mitzvahs, I say the positive mitzvahs, where not doing them is simply a passive violation of the Torah, but even by the mitzvahs losaseh, even by the negative, where Hashem specifically said don't do it, and yet a person has the need to do it. So the pasuk v'chai bahem allows a Jew to go ahead and do any isser in the Torah in the interest of saving his life. In the interest of saving his or her life, if it, like we said, chil Shabbos, eating forbidden foods, whatever it may be, all of those things would be permitted. But the pasuk v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael that we had in yesterday's parsha, that is referring to a scenario where a guy came to a Jew, berabim, where he came in public. Public means in the presence of Jews, right? The common perception of Chil Hashem is that Chil Hashem is done in the presence of Goyim, which is true, but a greater Chil Hashem, is, contrary to popular belief, is when it's done in the presence of Jews, because of the fact that the Jews go by the Torah. So they're sensitive. If a person sins, if a person does something that's forbidden by the Torah in the presence of Goyim, as bad as it is, but the guy may not realize that the Torah says he can't do this. So he may not be aware, the people may not be aware of that. But when it's done in the presence of Jews, and who know that the Torah says he can't do this, and you go ahead and do it, a person goes ahead and does it, that's the greatest disgrace, because they know it's wrong. They go, what are you doing? You're not allowed to do this. How can you do such a thing? So the greatest Chil Hashem, again, I'm pointing this out because this is contrary to what we think. In other words, you know, you have the situations of a person goes, we live amongst Goyim here in the Golos, so very often an opportunity presents itself for Chil Hashem amongst Goyim, which is surely Chil Hashem on some level, there's no question about it. But much worse is when a person goes in the presence of other Jews and disgraces the Torah, he makes like, I don't care what the Torah says, I'm going to do what I want to do. That is the greatest Chil Hashem. So the concept of Chil Hashem is where you do it in the presence of Jews. So the halacha is that when it comes to a person being a martyr, when it comes to a person giving up his or her life, so the inyan of Chil Hashem, or the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, is when it is in the presence of 10 Jews. If it's in the presence of 10 Jews, and a guy comes over and says, I want you to go ahead and be Mechal Shabbos, and his whole purpose in saying this is simply because of the fact that he wants you to go ahead and violate the Torah, so then we have this mitzvah of Nikdashi B'soch B'nei Yisrael that a person has to give up his life. Okay. Now, there are other scenarios that come up, and you're probably seeing and wondering, why haven't I said anything about the three cardinal sins, which we'll get to in a moment. But but for now, this is the pasuk that we're dealing with, the pasukim that we started off the shir, source number one, source number two, that it says v'nikdashti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, and what appears to be a contradictory pasuk is the pasuk of v'chai b'hem. So that's the basic reconciliation. Now, just once we're on this topic, it is very important to note that the poskim will say, the Rambam is from the Shulchan Aruch, that the source is from the Gemara, that all of this changes b'shas hashmad. B'shas hashmad means at a time of religious persecution. So when there is a specific, when there is a movement, it's not just an individual guy who is trying to get a Jew to go against the Torah, but where there is a whole movement that is being orchestrated to get the Jews to go, to violate their beliefs, so then the halacha becomes much more severe. And this is, again, is brought in the Rambam, that the Rambam says, B'shas HaShmad, where a king or whatever, a government or whatever it may be, a group of people make they have a goal to get the Jews to go away from the Torah altogether, situations like that, so then the halacha is that a person has to give up his life, his or her life, in such a situation, even if it's not a mitzvah per se, but even if it is just a Jewish practice, even if it is just a Jewish practice, there's something that Jews do for reasons that are known to Jews, so then a person also has to give up his life. The Gemara brings the case, Akasa de Misanoi, the famous case in the Gemara, Akasa de Misanoi, that even if Jews wore different color shoelaces than the non-Jews did, which is not a mitzvah in the Torah to wear specific shoelaces, but if they did it, then they did it for some sort of, it wasn't just a coincidence that it happened to be that way, but if Jews wore it because of some sort of inyan of tznius, which is the way many learn it, that the Jews wore it because, let's say, Jews wore black shoelaces, the non-Jews wore red shoelaces, and Jews felt that it was too ostentatious to do such a thing, and therefore wore black shoelaces in the interest of tznius. So then, since it is a shas hashmad, in the shas hashmad everything changes, and then a person has to give up his life for anything of this nature, even if it is in private. Even if it is not in the presence of 10 Jews, even if it was not in the presence of a single Jew, even if it was in total privacy, in those situations, the Shas HaShmad, a person cannot go against any, not just mitzvah in the Torah, but any practice. In other words, for example, if it was decreed that Jews shouldn't wear yarmulkes, the Jewish man should not wear yarmulkes, it's not a mitzvah in the Torah, it's not found in the Gemara, it's a minhag Yisrael, which is widely accepted and has the status of halacha, it's brought in the Shulchan Aruch, but nonetheless, it technically, being that it's not mentioned in the Gemara, does not qualify as the purebred halacha, it's more in the concept of minhag, but nevertheless, if there was a shas hashmad against such a thing, a Jew would have to give up his life. Yes.
That was not the case before you had it in Spain.
Yeah, okay, so that was the issue. With the Muranos, there were a lot of issues.
Yeah.
There were a lot of issues, because it wasn't just that. It was, there were a lot of issues. So it could have been even worse than that. But, okay, whatever it may be. That was as well known. You're right, it's well known that this was the very, very big challenge that faced the Jews in the time of the Spanish Inquisition, and ultimately many people left because of the fact that they felt that they could not conform in any way. Not just, it wasn't righteousness, it was the Shas HaShmad, and the Halacha really demanded that they should leave. There was no way that, halachically speaking, there was no way for a Jew to stay there, as far as we know. There was no way that a person could stay there and not be in violation of the Halacha. However, there were people who, for various reasons, could not stand up to this challenge, and they did what they did, even though they maintained their beliefs, and that was the whole controversy surrounding the Muranos. It happened other times in history also. This is the basic din of the Shas HaShmad. Okay, so where do we stand? So, just to review. So it comes out that basically speaking, when it comes to a mitzvah in the Torah, under ordinary circumstances, a Jew does not have to give up his life for a mitzvah in the Torah. It doesn't have to give up his life for any, not just mitzvah saseh, but even a mitzvah lo saseh. Person says, v'chai b'hem, live by the mitzvahs. The exceptions to this rule are, that we have so far, the exceptions would be, number one, if it was a guy who went over to a Jew in the interest of getting the Jew to go against the Torah, and it was done in the presence of 10 Jews, if you had both, and the guy, in other words, those two conditions, it has to be that it was done in the presence of 10 Jews, and the guy was, his intention was, lahaviro al-daso, it was the purpose of getting him to go against his religion, so then a person has to give up their life. But if you're missing either of those two conditions, you also wouldn't have to give up your life. In other words, either if it was not done in the presence of 10 Jews, it could have been done in the presence of a million goyim, but if it wasn't done in the presence of 10 Jews, you wouldn't have to give up your life. Or if it was the goyim's intention was for his own personal satisfaction. If he was doing it for his own personal satisfaction and not with a religious motivation, then also you don't have to give up your life, even in the presence of 10 Jews. But that is all speaking under ordinary circumstances. If it's a Shas Hashmad, so then it's a whole different ballgame. And a Shas Hashmad in a time of religious persecution, so then a person has to be willing to give up their life, even for not just a mitzvah and not just a halacha midrabanan, but even for a Jewish practice, a practice that is done by Jews for a reason. That it's not just stama mishigas that Jews do certain things, that Jews drive certain cars, so that just by putting up, because they all know where the good sale is, so everyone goes and gets the same the car. That's not a Jewish practice. But if it's done for the purpose of the Jew wears it for some sneers or whatever it may be, then we have also the halacha of Kiddush Hashem. Now, this brings us to the big three. Okay, we have the big three that is well known, the three cardinal sins. The three cardinal sins, Gilei Raya, Shrichus Dama, Avodah Zarah, right? The three sins that everybody knows that a Jew has no heter of a chai b'hem, right? And they are Gilei Raya for forbidden sexual relationships is Gilei Raya, Shrichus Dama is to commit murder, and Avodah Zarah is for the, if a guy tells a Jew to worship Avodah Zarah, any of those situations, the halacha is that a person also has to give up his life, even if it is being done in private. You don't need 10 Jews for that. There it makes no difference. And there it would be, even if it was the goy's intention was for his own enjoyment, it doesn't matter. Okay? At the source of this is found, it's worthwhile to see. The Gemara says here, if you go back to source number 3 in Sanhedrin, Ayin Dalet. So the Gemara says, if you go down to, let's see, how far down are we going to go here? If one goes down about 5 lines, it says, the Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer says that it says in the pasuk, Vahafta et Hashem Elokecha. Excuse me, no, I'm sorry, that's not the correct place. I'm sorry, we have to go back to the top of the paragraph, forgive me. The top of the paragraph. The Gemara says, Mishum, the top line. Amar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimei and Sada, Nimnu v'gamru b'aliyas v'ez nitzeh v'lud, that the Jews, it was agreed upon, there was a gathering of the rabbis in someone's attic in the city of Lud. This was at the time, apparently, after the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. So it says that, Kol Averish of the Torah, that by all the mitzvahs in the Torah, if a guy says to a Jew, violate this mitzvah, I will kill you, so the halacha is that he should violate. Except for these three. Now what is the source of these three? So in the interest of saving time, I'll just paraphrase. So the Gemara brings down that what I just started to read a moment ago, as far as idol worship is concerned, that is derived from the pasuk v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha b'chol nafshecha, right? That a person has to love Hashem with all of his soul, b'chol nafshecha, with his entire nefesh. So the Chazal determined that this pasuk is teaching us that means that the ultimate love of Hashem is that a person who stays loyal, he doesn't deviate and go to an avodah Zara, right? In the time that people were steeped in idolatry, so this was something that was not a simple matter, and to not violate, to not deviate and go to Avodah Zarah, that is loving Hashem b'chol levavcha. From this we derive that Avodah Zarah is Yehari Balyava. Now, where do we derive the other two from? So it's very fascinating. The Gemara says, when it comes to Shvichas Damim, there is no pasuk. There is no pasuk, nor is there a pasuk for Gilead Raya. The only direct pasuk that says that a person has to give up his life to not violate a mitzvah, that's only by Avodah Zarah. But after Shemokecha b'chol nafshecha. When it comes to Shvichas Damim, when it comes to murder, the Gemara comes up as a very, very famous svara that the Gemara says, if you look five lines from the end of this paragraph, five lines from the bottom, that in a situation where a person was told, where a guy came over to a Jew, a guy came over, let's say, to Reuben, and said to Reuben, either kill Shimon or I will kill you. So the Gemara says that the halacha is that Reuben should allow himself to be killed and not kill his friend, in the famous words of the Chazal, because Miyemar the Dama the Dov Sumak Tvei, who says that your blood is redder than his blood? Dilma Dama Dahu Gavra Sumak Tvei, maybe his blood is redder than yours, which means that a person has no right to say that I am more valuable than the next guy. And this applies by all Jews because ultimately nobody knows where they stand. We have the concept that, you know, the Hashem is the judge, ain't done yechidi ala echad. Hashem is the only one that could really judge in the truest sense of the word, and therefore nobody really knows. We tend to assume certain things, but it's not known clearly, and therefore, who says that your blood is redder than his? You don't know. So therefore, if it's a question of me giving up my life, or saving my life and taking someone else's life, I have no right to do it. And this the Gemara says you don't need a pasuk for. You know, there's no source in the Torah for this. This is held to be a logic. This is held to be a logic because how do you know? How do you know? Somebody's going to die. So if somebody's going to die, why shouldn't it be you? So the answer that any person would give is because, I want to live. But the fact that I want to live doesn't justify someone else dying. Unless you could somehow come up with some logic that I'm better than that person. But nobody knows that. So therefore, the end result is that from Svara alone, a person is not allowed to murder. Yes?
Maybe it's a stira, I'm not sure, but we have two people in the water.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can save yourself.
Yes, that's a code. Correct.
You're supposed to save yourself.
Right, so that's a good question. And in fact, that is... if you turn over to page number 4, that's a very good point, that there is sometimes an exception to this, and that is the well-known story, the well-known scenario that's mentioned in the Chazal, that if you have two people walking tomorrow in the fifth paragraph of Metzia, says that in source number 4, third line from the top, Shnayim Shayim Ha'alcham Baderech, if you have two Jews going on the road, Ubiyad Echaman Kitan Shomayim, and there is only one flask of water, one of them, Reuven and Shimon, are walking on the road, and they're both hot and tired and thirsty, and they're far away from any yishuv, they're far away from any civilization, and only one of them has a flask of water. So, and basically the choices are that if Reuven will drink the water, or whoever is going to drink the water, there's enough water there that person will be able to make it to civilization and save his life permanently. Meaning that the nearest city where you can get water is so far away that the only way either of them will survive is if one of them drinks the entire flask of water. However, the other choice would be that we could split the water. And if we split the water, neither of us will make it to the city. If neither of us make it to the city, ultimately we will both die. However, if we split the water, each one of us will at least prolong our lives. In other words, basically the scenario is that they've reached the point that they both desperately need a drink, and one of them is going to die if he doesn't. Either one of them will die if they don't have a drink. So what do you do with it now? If he has a drink, he won't die, but if the water is split, then neither of them will be able to make it to the point that they could save their lives permanently. On the other hand, they will both have their lives prolonged. So this is a question of what the Gemara calls chayesha. This is what's called that you'll live, but you only live for a prescribed period of time. So what do you do in such a case? So this is the subject of a famous dispute. So the Gemara says that Ben Keturah, one of the rabbis at the time, Darish Ben Keturah, Mutav Sheyishtu Shneim V'Yamusu. Ben Keturah said you should split the water. They should split the water. He said he had no right to know. If I drink all the water myself, I am indirectly killing my friend because of the fact that he's going to die if he doesn't have a drink. So Ben Tur said he had no right to do that. You have no right to do that. You have to split it. I will say that if you split it, what's going to be the big accomplishment? That ultimately, we will both die. So the answer is, okay, that may be so, but at least for the time being, you will both live. However, the Gemara says, "Atshabar Rabbi Akiva, v'limei b'chei achicha yimach." Next week's parasha, right? Rabbi Akiva taught that there is a pasuk that says that your brother should live with you. The nuance of the pasuk is imach, that he should live with you. So it seems that the pasuk is implying that he should live with you, meaning that you're the one that should be there, and he should live with you. In other words, the pasuk there is speaking about not doing dishonest business practices against another Jew. So it says that your brother should be able to live with you. The implication is that you take precedence over him, and he should live with you. Says Rabbi Akiva, Chayecha Kodmin. Rabbi Akiva says that from this we derive that your life comes before the other fellow's life, and therefore if you have the water, so then the one who has the water can drink it. He can drink the entire water, because the pasuk here is telling us that a person's life, if I have the water, takes precedence over my friend who does not have the water. So therefore, there's no reason to split it. A person who has it can drink it himself, and even though the other person will die instantly, he will die momentarily, doesn't matter. The fact is, it's my water, Chayecha Kodmin, I come before him. So the question is being asked, so what do you mean? So doesn't that imply that your blood is redder than his? Because if we hold by this logic, that you don't know whose blood is redder, so you should have to split the water. You know, perhaps one can even argue you should have to give him all the water. Because how do you, maybe he's better than you. It's a suffix. The Suffolk Daraisa, maybe he's better than you. Who knows? So maybe you should have to give him all the water. So this is a very good point, which is discussed intensely in the Rishonim, how you reconcile these two sources. And basically, what it comes down to, the basic split that's said is that in one case, the halacha of Shvichas Damim, that your blood is not redder than his, is where you're actively killing him. In other words, if a guy comes over to a Jew and says, take this gun and shoot your fellow man, and if not, I will kill you, so there, I'm doing an active ritzicha. I'm killing him with the adayim. I'm doing it through an act. That, we say, your brother's blood is redder. However, when it comes to passive ritzicha, when it comes to a situation where I'm not killing him, it's just that if I drink the water, he will die. But I didn't do it. I could have saved him, but I didn't save him, but I saved myself. So then, the halacha is chayecha kodmin. Now, you will ask, but still, how does that fit with the logic? How do you know whose blood is redder? This is a very good question, which is discussed at length, and I don't clearly understand how it fits that. In other words, it seems that when the Gemara says, who knows whose blood is redder, it's not an absolute slur, it's situational. In other words, to take his life, you have to know your blood is redder. But to save yourself rather than to save him, you don't have to know that. That is the halakha. Reconciliation, how it fits with the logic is a little bit unclear. Yeah. At least to me. Yeah.
And again, that shows a lack of a tafkid and a munah, you know? Because they split the water, they could both start up. Who knows? They might find a source of water somewhere.
Okay, so it seems that you're right, but it seems that the case in the Gemara is where there's no, let's say in the desert, there's nothing. The nearest city is an hour away, and the case is theoretical. Theoretically speaking, if you know that there's nothing there and you won't make it, so then this is the halacha. Okay, so there we have all the scenarios of martyrdom, the topic of the share, of when a person is mechuyev to be a martyr. Again, so now to put it all together, what we have would be like this. When it comes to the three cardinal sins, that a person has to give up his life or her life, no matter what, even if it's done in private, it makes no difference. You don't need to have 10 Jews, because those things are Yehareg Val Yavar regardless. When it comes to other mitzvahs, so then it depends. if it is being done in public, and public means halakhic public, that in the presence of 10 Jews, and the non-Jews' motivation is to get the Jew to go against the Torah, la'avir al dos, that's also a person has to give up their life. However, if it is lacking either of those two considerations, meaning that it is not being done in public, in front of 10 Jews, or even if it is in the presence of 10 Jews, but the guy's motivation is for his own personal pleasure, his own personal enjoyment, then that walker as a person does not have to give up their life. Okay? Those are the two basic categories. And then we have the situation of Shas HaShmad, that if it would be in a case of religious persecution, so then in religious persecution, a person has to be ready to give up their life for anything, even if it's a mitzvah derabbanan, even if it's a minhag, if it's a minhag Yisrael, but if it's being done for the purpose of religious persecution, a person has to give up their life. Now, what I just want to cover before we end is a common question that people have, and that what if a person chooses, has a spiritual feeling that I want to give up my life for this. But we find throughout the history, here stories in the Holocaust, and as well dating as far back as stories in Gemara. The Gemara tells us, the Gemara in Gittin, by the story of the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash, that there was a whole boatload of children that were being taken, transported from Eretz Yisrael to Rome for immoral purposes, and it says that they all jumped off the boat into the ocean and killed themselves. So now the question is, how did they justify that? How did they justify that? So, you know, and what about cases where it wasn't even, you know, where a person was told for the mitzvah of tefillin, he was willing to the mitzvah of bris milah, right? That we find in the Chazal, we find in the Midrashim that a person was banned from giving his child a bris. After that, he was willing to give up his life. So again, you would have to, simply stated, you would have to see if it fits into the criteria that we set. If it's going to be one of the cardinal sins, so then the halacha is that a person has the right to give up their life. If it's a shas hashmad, then a person has to give up their life. But not every story that we're familiar with fits those criteria. And apparently we do hear stories where you say to yourself that the person had a certain initiative, that their dvekus, that their commitment to Yiddishkeit was such that they were willing to give up their life even in a case that did not fit the criteria that we described until now. So this is a very big machlokus in the Rishonim, that when we have the situation of Yavar Va'al Yehore, where we have a situation where the Torah says better to keep your life, better violate the mitzvah, fine, violate the mitzvah and keep your life rather than to die. So the question is, but what happens if a person says, but I would prefer to die, I'm doing it because of the fact that I'm sincerely devoted Jew and I'm willing to give up my life for this. So here we have this very quickly, if you look here in the Rambam in source number 5, so the Rambam says, and this is the Dalit source number 5, Kol mi shenemar bo yavar v'al yehore, in any situation where a person was told, where the halacha is that he should give up his life, that he should violate the mitzvah rather than to die, v'nerag v'lo avar, but he didn't follow it. He went ahead and he said, no, I'm going to give up my life. I am willing to give up my life for this mitzvah. So the Rambam says, I raise them as chayiv b'nafsho. The Rambam says that's a terrible error. I raise them as chayiv b'nafsho. The person is, you know, in the vernacular, the person is guilty with his life. The person is chayiv misa. Not that anyone's going to kill him, but the fact is that I raise it. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible, terrible thing because of why? Because the value of life is such that if you have the opportunity to live, you have to opt to live. That's a basic concept that we have in Yiddishkeit, that a person has to opt to live. A person has to go ahead and try to do whatever they can to live. And therefore, if the halacha is that in this situation you should live, so then where do you have the right to say, well, I choose to die? You can't do that. And the Rambam apparently equates this to a person killing himself. It's like suicide. You have no right to do that. How do you have the right to give up your life in such a situation. However, we find this is not the only opinion. If you look at source number 6, we have a Tosfos in the Maseches Avodah Zarah and Lechav Zayin on the days. It's underlined the last two lines from the bottom. He says, "V'imrotzo lahachmir alatzmo afilu b'shar mitzvahs rishai." If a person wants to be machmir, even in other situations, by other mitzvahs aside from the big three, he is allowed to. And he cites an example: Kamar Rav Bar Zimra b'Yerushalmi. But we find the Gemara in the Yerushalmi that the guy came over to him and said, "Either eat this non-kosher piece of meat, or I will kill you." And it was not done in the presence of 10 Jews, so there was no Chilul Hashem in that sense. There was no mitzvah of Mikdashi in that sense. And yet, the Jew went ahead and gave up his life, and Yerushalmi apparently says that he did the right thing. That he did the right thing. So Tosa says, why is that? So apparently, that's because of the fact that you could if you want to. In other words, in the view of the Rambam, when the Torah says, Yavar Bal Yehareg, violate this mitzvah, or you will be killed. So then, the person, Yavar Bal Yehareg means violate the mitzvah rather than being killed. So, in the view of the Rambam, you must violate the mitzvah. And if you don't, you're doing a terrible thing. Whereas, in the view of Tosfos, Tosfos is saying no. Tosfos says that if a person wants to be machmir al atzmo, he has the right. Now, how do we explain this? So now this would apparently imply that, let's say on Shabbos, a person was told, go to the hospital. And he says, go to the hospital, how do you expect me to get there? I'm going to drive a car, so you can't get a non-Jew to drive him. Fine, you want me to drive my car to go to the hospital? It's a little Shabbos, I can't do such a thing. Or you want me to eat on Yom Kippur? I can't be Yom Kippur. I can't do such a thing. Right? So I'd rather give up my life. I'd rather give up my life than eat on Yom Kippur. My whole life I've fasted Yom Kippur. I'm not going to break it this time despite my advanced age. And I refuse to do it. And I'm ready to give up my life for such a thing. So is that correct or incorrect? So we apparently have a machlokas in the Rishonim. Right? It sounds, according to the Rambam, that clearly that's incorrect, and a person who does that is equivalent to committing suicide. Because the Torah says, for this you have to give up your, for this you don't give up your life. If you don't give up your life, you don't, so you're not allowed to. Whereas, in the view of Tulsa, it's not so bad. A person could be machmer alatzma. So how do we explain this? So basically, there are two explanations that are given that would impact on the shaila of, let's say, a person doesn't want to fast on Yom Kippur. One way to explain the machlokas between Tosfos and the Rambam is probably the simplest way that would come to a person's mind would be that the whole justification for a person to violate a mitzvah rather than to die is from the pasuk b'chai b'chai, right, that we just read at the beginning of the shiur. B'chai b'chai, you should live by the mitzvahs. So one could have the question, the one analyzing that halacha could have the following chakira, this analysis, he could say, is b'chai b'chai an obligation, or is b'chai b'chai simply permission? Meaning that if you tell me that when the Torah says b'chai b'chai, the Torah is commanding you, you must live by the mitzvahs. You must. So therefore, if you're going to die, if you don't eat on Yom Kippur, you absolutely mechuyev to eat. Then it's clearly the Rambam is right. On the other hand, if you say that when the Torah says b'chai b'chai, the Torah was not going to that extent, the Torah was just giving you permission. So listen, if you want, you don't have to give up your life for this. You don't have to. Even though it's God's commandment, and to be loyal to God is a great thing, but nevertheless, if you're going to lose your life in the process, you can save your life. If that's true, so then it would come out that a person can opt to say, well, you know, I feel that I'm so loyal to God. What a disgrace to eat on Yom Kippur. Hey, you hear stories like this. It's known, right? Doctors advise patients that they should eat on Yom Kippur, and they don't listen, and because it's emotionally, I just can't bring myself to do such a thing, right? So it would seem, according to this explanation, that at least in the view of Tosfos, that it would be permissible. However, that is apparently not the explanation that is held the halacha, but rather the explanation that's held the halacha is that the Rambam's opinion is that the person has to save his life, and that's clear. The Chai B'Hem demands a person saves his life. Tosfos' only disagreement with the Rambam is in a case where a person giving up his life will constitute a Kiddush Hashem. If it will constitute a Kiddush Hashem, that everyone will know that this happened and this was done in the name of the person not wanting to go against halacha, so then that's where Tosfos comes along and says that a person has the right to give up his life, even though the mitzvah itself did not call for that. In other words, if a doctor tells a patient that you must eat an Yom Kippur, if not you're going to die, according to what we're saying now, there is no heter. There is no heter for the Jew not to eat. He's obligated to eat. Why? Because what's going to come from there? What's going to be a Kiddush Hashem? What's the Kiddush Hashem? Who even knows? Right? It's a private matter between the doctor and the patient, and that's it. So in a situation like that, there's no question that there is no heter. However, theoretically, if you have stories like you hear coming out of the Holocaust where there was an Indian of Kiddush Hashem involved, where maybe people were aware of it, and a person wanted to show his great loyalty for mitzvahs, and make a statement in the face of all the persecution that was going on, so then, in the view of Tosfos, this would be permissible. And in fact, we have the halacha, we'll end on this, the halacha is brought in the Shulchan Aruch Yeridea, in Simin Kufnat Nun Zayin. The Shulchan Aruch says, the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch brings down that a person, except for the major three sins, has to save his own life. He says, if a person chooses to give up their own life, they're allowed to, in a situation where if the non-Jew is trying to get him to go against his religion. What does this mean? So it's a little confusing, but we'll just make it short and sweet, hopefully. And that is that if we said before that even where a non-Jew is trying to get the Jew to go against his religion, you only have to give up your life if it's done in the presence of 10 people. But let's say it's not done in the presence of 10 Jews. If it's not done in the presence of 10 Jews, it makes no difference what the guy's motivation was. You don't have to give up your life. However, in a situation where, let's say, where a Nazi, Yimach Shemo, would come into the house and say to the Jew, do some Avera, take the Sefer Torah that you have and burn it, or something like that, do some sin. And so it's not in the presence of 10 people. It's not in the presence of 10 people. So therefore, there is no Indian of Yehari Bal Yavar in this case. However, the person feels, I can't do this. This is he's doing this because he wants to make a mockery out of my religion, and I refuse to. You hear stories of Hasidim who refuse to have their beards shaved off, and they gave up their life. They say, "Well, how do you justify that? It's just the Isser. Even if they're right that a person not allowed to shave at all, even theoretically, if they were right about that, but the fact is that that's only an Isser in the Torah, and it should not be a Har Bal Yavar, right? And they were, so how do you have the right to give up your life? Nevertheless, the psak in Shulchan Aruch is that in such a situation, if a person wants to, if a person is inspired and says that you want me to go against my religion, I will not go against my religion, even though it's not in public, but that's your motivation, he has the right to do it. This is the psak that is brought in Yeridea. So therefore, this is the way it is. This is the final consideration in the halachas of Kiddush Hashem, that even in a case where the halacha does not demand it, but it is an opportunity for some form of Kiddush Hashem, meaning that the person is showing a loyalty to the Torah and to the mitzvahs, so even though it lacks the criteria, it's not being done in the presence of 10 Jews, but nevertheless, a person has the right, this is the way the Shulchan Aruch apparently understands the view of Tosfos, that a person, that if a person is told, eat non-kosher meat, or I'll kill you, and the kavana of the guy, the intention of the guy is to get him to go against his religion, but it's not in the presence of 10 Jews, and he doesn't want to do it, he has the right, he's not obligated, he has, according to the strict halacha, he has the absolute right to save his own life and to do it. However, if he feels that he wants to, he feels emotionally charged that he wants to give up his life, in such a case, he would be allowed. These are I believe we've covered pretty much the scenarios of Kiddush Hashem, of where a person has to give up his life. Hopefully none of these situations should ever present themselves again, but in the history of the Jewish people they have, unfortunately, numerous times, and it's important for a person to be at least familiar with these halachos.